Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Lodewijk Meyer to the show today. He's a partner at Baker McKenzie. Lodewijk, thanks for joining us. Great to have you. And now we're chatting in the midst of a really interesting report that Baker McKenzie has developed, which is actually on the new dynamics and specifically shifting patterns in Africa's infrastructure funding. Now, this is a big ticket item. Infrastructure funding, development, support is critical, but it's slightly lacking at the moment. Maybe just give us the top line findings. I'm sure it's not a pretty picture right now.
Yeah, thanks, Evan. So, you know, we've been talking about, you know, the infrastructure funding gap on the continent for a very long time. So, you know, despite the high numbers and in 2014 of about 100 billion in deal value, that's dollars. And as recent, you know, it's declined from 2014 to 2019 to about 55 billion, and then astonishingly, in 2020, it dropped to 31 billion. So, wow. You know, it's remarkable how the investment levels have dropped within the context of a huge funding gap as it relates to infrastructure development that already existed within the continent.
And of course, COVID having an impact in the last year as well, obviously. That's
yeah, I mean, I think exactly right. I mean, COVID and the pandemic, it closed borders, it stopped trade other than for essentials. It was without any doubt the principal reason for the decline. But having said that, also, you know, if you look at the levels at which economic activity had slowed in major economies like Nigeria, but also in South Africa, so the two major contributors to GDP within the continent, it had a massive slowdowns in economies. So also partly because of COVID, but also partly because of, you know, the drop in commodity prices and just general economic activity that had declined.
And of course, the bigger concern, of course, is that the bigger economies of Nigeria and South Africa are the hardest hit. And that has a kind of spiral effect through the continent, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, although, I mean, we're seeing green shoots, you know, so we're seeing activity picking up in Nigeria as commodity prices, especially, you know, the oil price have come back up. In South Africa, we've, you know, there was recently the announcement of Sibanye's $6.5 billion yes. infrastructure investment in South Africa. You know, we're hoping that within the IT sector and, you know, the export sector, things are going to pick up, but it's off a very, very low base.
Yeah, and of course, something interesting there as well was China's role in infrastructure funding. Of course, we know the crisis, you know, the nucleus of the crisis was there in China. They seem to have recovered quite quickly and some surprising findings there, right?
Yeah, I was. I mean, it is surprising. Although, you know, if you look at it, look at the numbers in 2019, the you know, Chinese banks invested about 2.8 billion, or supported transactions to the value of about 2.8 billion. Because you've got to make the distinction between, you know, the export finance support and you know, direct investment. But you know, the number is what the number is, and that's gone up to 3.3 for 2020. But again, from if you look at the 2017 numbers, you know, China spent 11 billion. So from 11 to 3.3 is again, it's a major decline. But they are by far the biggest investor on the continent still. The data shows that without any doubt.
Of course, a lot of talk at the moment about becoming slightly more insular, localization, controlling input prices, etc. In South Africa, we're seeing some concerning signs where, you know, you want 100% local product development. But some of the findings here are showing that outside investors are willing to put capital in. Is that right? Am I getting that right? Countries like the US and the UK?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting to, you know, that, I mean, it's a topic all by itself, but, you know, the one is there is a need for countries to start developing infrastructure and production for its own needs. There's very little doubt of that, because, you know, most countries and even South Africa are net exporters of raw materials. You know, so beneficiation is always a good thing. Mm-hmm. As for the US and the UK, very interesting. Post Brexit, we are seeing the UK investments coming into the continent. A deal was announced last week for a major agro processing company that operates across the continent, where the UK has provided a major funding line. And then, you know, we're waiting and seeing what the Biden administration is position is going to be. I think it's going to be much more favorable than what we saw under Trump. So, you know, where US Exim is going to be supporting, you know, infrastructure development. Because, Evan, you know, the major thing is that, you know, if you want to improve trade or the working capital cycle of a country, you've got to have the infrastructure, and that is what is lacking.
Yes.
So, you know, it's really, really important that we continue to attract foreign investment and not get too hung up about, you know, just domestic production.
And where is funding most needed?
Transport, you know, movement of goods, IT or data. You know, here we are talking on Zoom. Data's become a really, really critical part of the services economy. So, you know, it's really important. And then, you know, education and healthcare. I would say those are the critical areas that require investment.
Commercial banks, of course, have the money, and I know there was a big fund, you know, $500 billion, etc. Not a lot of that has been spent. I mean, are commercial banks coming to the party when it comes to lending?
Look, I mean, they've been slow. I mean, the international banks have withdrawn, especially in the commodity financing space. You know, has pulled out. Banks are managing their liquidity and their current debt positions. So, you know, we're not seeing that much activity on the commercial banking side. But where I do see quite a bit of activity coming through is on collaboration between development finance institutions and local banks. For instance, you know, a bank in Malawi may require credit lines to support, you know, SMEs on trade credit lines, and would borrow that money from a development finance institution and then deploy it into the trade value chain. So effectively creating liquidity on the short-term cycle of the funding, but borrowing it from a development finance institution. So they you know, people are getting a little bit more inventive in the way that they structure their deals, and I'm encouraged that banks are looking at alternative sources of funding to raise liquidity.
Well, that's fabulous, Lodewijk. Thanks for the time. And that is actually the nub of this report, is new dynamics, shifting patterns in Africa's infrastructure funding. And I think you've captured some of that there. Certainly a powerful report on what's happening out there on the ground. So thanks for the time. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you, Evan, and keep well. All the best.